Don't struggle. Struggle does not help in concentration, meditation, in yoga practice at all, perhaps not even in life.
Does it matter whether one finds out where the source of the sound is?
It seems to be, it seems to facilitate both these, the concentration of the mind and also easy focusing of the mind from within. Then if you are engaged in what is known as vichara, trying to look into the mind, to look into the thought, to look into the emotion, and eventually to look into the self, it seems to be of great help.
And once one has found the source,
then you are gone.
One can focus right away.
The moment you find the source, you are gone.
Whether you pick a mantra for yourself or are given one by, or wait, should you wait till you're given one by a teacher?
Why should I wait? I pick one up, and if a teacher comes along, I take one.
I was told to use Soham until
Marvelous.
And I'll ask you what I asked you at breakfast. Can you change mantras? Or
can I change a mantra?
One seems more suitable. This is the Soham for the breath, and another more suitable for chanting, say?
Yeah, right. That's a different thing. Can different mantras be used? Yes. For instance, we use the healing mantra. Om Dreem Bhagamma Jamihe Sugandhim Pushti Vartam. Right. That's sort of prayer for healing, etc. That sort of thing. And we use the Maha Mantra. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. It's considered to be Maha Mantra. Supreme. And as Swami Sannyasi, we use another mantra called Sannyasa Mantra, Paramahamsa Mantra. I may do it just a little bit for about 10 minutes or half an hour every day, just to keep up the tradition. In the same way, if you are a Brahmin, you will use what is called the Gayatri Mantra. Like the priests use Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison in the church. These are all mantras which have special application. Mantras which have special application. They may even be adapted to suit each individual needs. If she comes to me and says, Swami, I would like to get married and I don't like to go out with boys and so on, but you give me a mantra for getting married. There's a mantra for getting a suitable boy. There is a mantra. I probably printed that. Yeah, I saw the book Yogi Yoga around here. Yeah, that book is there. Mantra for getting married. Or she says, Swami, we have been married up in a couple of years, we would like to have a baby. There is another mantra there. Mantra for getting a child. Devaki Shata Govinda Vasudeva Charitpate Dehi Meta Neem Krishna Tama Indrana Meta. If you go on repeating this every day, you'll get a baby. Oh, don't try. These are all mantras which are adapted to certain needs, personal needs. The other one is called Ishta Mantra or Guru Mantra. This is different. Ishta means chosen, or that which one likes. Ishta means that which is one has chosen or that which one likes. The mantra which one likes is the mantra which one uses constantly. That is the mantra which we use for our meditation practice. Because that I like this, I like the mantra. And that mantra is associated with the breathing and it goes on throughout day and night constantly. Whereas all the other mantras have got their own rules and regulations. You must do it then, you must not do it now, you must do it, etc., etc. You must have a bath before doing this, you must stand on your head, drink water through your nose. In the case of the Ishta mantra, there is no such rule, regulation, nothing. Not only you can do it all the time, but must try to do it all the time. That's the ideal, that's the goal. My master used to call it background of thought. So that it is at the background of all thoughts. It is better for this to be one, not change. Is that right? It's better for this mantra to be one and not unchanging. Because if I go on changing in morning one mantra, afternoon one mantra, evening one mantra, then it doesn't dig in. It doesn't become part of my consciousness. Now, if a person finds that I was given a mantra, I picked up a mantra, it didn't doesn't sound very well, it doesn't inspire. That means you still do not have the Ishta mantra. This girl has got several friends, but she still hasn't found her boy. Is that right? That's it. It still hasn't happened. It still hasn't clicked. I use this mantra now, I use another mantra later, I use a third mantra now. So and so Swami came to me and gave me a mantra, and I then went to another person, that another mantra that seemed to be more suitable to me, and this was less suitable to me. I am still finding what is most suitable to me. All this only means there is no confusion. This is not confusion at all. I don't call it confusion. I call it indecision. Why is there this indecision? Just because there has been, I still haven't found what I can love. Is that right? I still haven't found that to which I can immediately respond, right? That's it. That's what I want. Then there is no question anymore. When I have found that, there is no question anymore.
And you should keep on changing until you found one that's satisfied?
No, you will keep on changing, not you should keep on changing. You will keep on changing until you have found the right one.
Then it's a matter of finding one yourself and not one being given.
Thank you very much. And not finding one oneself, responding to that. It may come in any way you like, responding to that.
But to, in a way, reject a mantra that was given to you seems strange.
So it does, and that's why they say you should stick to that mantra. Now when they hoped, you know, I think, if you'll forgive me, I hope I'm not too light-hearted. See? Probably it is all related to the Indian or pre-18th century European tradition that you are married off to someone, then the father says you must love that man. He is your husband. You look at him and say, oh, he is my husband, I must love him. Right. He go on like this for about 6 months or 1 year. Eventually you will learn to like him. And it's possible, right? All of us, we went to school, we didn't like going to school. At one stage we fell in love with the school. We started practicing yoga, we didn't like it. Now we are in love with it. It's possible. That's what I think they suggested. If, on the one hand, this is an Ishta mantra, the mantra which I love. Now I get on with it, and if I tell myself, well, he gave me a mantra, I'm doing it, I don't know if I will like it or not. I'm entering into it already with a doubt. It's like somebody getting married and saying, well, we'll see if it will work. It may work, and well, it may not work. It will not work. It's probably not work. Because you are entering into it already vacillating. So they said, don't do that. When a guru or somebody gives you a mantra, stick to it. And there is also the other argument in favor of it, that all mantras are same. Like more or less all boys are same. So no way go on changing one from the other, just stick to one. All mantras are same. When you want to change from one to the other, when you change it, your intelligence, your consciousness has no time to get used to one thing. Before you have chance, you have given yourself the chance to dig into it and come to, you know, face to face with that which is in you, in it, you drop it and change to something else. And probably you will come to the same trouble again after some time, because you have not given it, the first one, the chance to relate. Their idea, their feeling is that all the mantras are same, have the same potency, if you have the right inner attitude.
Well, what I was thinking about is there's some short ones that would be better for pranayama, for instance, if you're doing that, and some breathing, and there are some long ones that you'd have to break up, would be awkward for.
Yeah. Therefore, most of these Ishta mantras are fairly short. It depends upon how short, how long is long. Yeah? Most of these mantras, are fairly short. The others, we call them more or less prayer, except the Gayatri mantra, you know, we discussed it the other day. It's a fairly long thing. Most of these long winding things are prayers, like the Jesus prayer, Ave Maria, they're all prayers, not mantras. Right? The mantras that people use for their pranayama, for their meditation and so on, they are short.
And it would be better to have a short one.
Yeah. The short one is easier to focus one's mind on. And when the mind is too boisterous, then one uses a prayer. Any prayer can be used.
What's the difference between a prayer and a mantra?
What's the difference between a prayer and a mantra? I suppose you know what to pray means. You know what to pray means?
I think so.
What? You don't even know how to spell it. How do you spell it?
It's not E-Y.
Why not? Why not? There are two words. Pray. Yeah? P-R-A-Y. P-R-E-Y. Yeah. Most people pray. Wear their clothes and God give me this. If you don't, I'll tell you to be that sort of thing. That is prayer. That's what you call prayer. The mantra is real prayer. This Ishta mantra is prayer in the real sense.
Well, but that's why I'm asking, because me, prayer is just you open, I don't know.
Open my mouth and say, come on, give me that.
No, don't say give me anything.
Huh.
I mean, you can pray saying, bubble, bubble, toilet, trouble. You know, I mean, you can, it's a feeling more than a...
Correct. No, not even feeling. In the mantras, in most cases, there is no give me at all. In the prayer type of thing, there's a lot of give me. For example, I've been describing to you, give me a husband, or give me a child, give me wealth, give me health, give me immortality. All these are prayers. Though they are called mantras, they are really prayers. But in the case of the mantras, take one or two, for instance, Om Namah Shivaya. It's extraordinary. There are only three words there, Om Namah Shivaya, right? It's quite simple. Om is, I don't know who you are. It is a Om is supposed to be the word, the name of God, etc., etc. Something which says, I don't know who you are. Om. Namah means salutation. Salutation. Shivaya, to Shiva, to God. The one vital word is missing here. Who is doing it? There is no I there at all. If it is to be put grammatically, Aham Shivam Namami. That is what it means. I salute Shiva. It's not there. Om Namah Shivaya. Salutations to Shiva. Who is doing it? I don't know. We'll think about it later. So in the mantra, there is not only not asking, not demanding, but not even a concept of the self. Salutations to Shiva. Salutations to the Lord.
Well, it seems that there are different kinds of mantras and there are different kinds of prayers. There must be mantras that are spelled EY too.
Yeah, plenty of.
Yeah.
When I told you, you hear that?
Yeah.
You got it. And for instance, the other mantra, though it's a long one, Mahamantra. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There's nothing there. Oh Lord, 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 oh Lord.
What definition would one give the mantras, for instance, for a chakra?
I didn't get the first one.
What definition? Then what kind of mantra would you give to the bija mantras?
It's a bija mantra, it is a seed.
Yeah, along the chakras. How would you define them?
They are the seed indicators of the particular elements. They are the seed verbal representations of those elements. Or may I repeat them? Repeat them. They are called Bija Mantras. Bija Mantra means, Bija means seed. Mantra is mantra. Seed mantra.
And for what purpose would you use them?
For concentrating on those chakras, actually.
What about mudras? Like, I've always wondered the significance of the different hand movements, of placing your hands in certain positions on your body. Does that have any significance at all? Whether your fingertips are closed when they're out on your hands, or whether they're down? Or
it's a her cognizance, encroaching. There are two things here. You use the word significance. What are the significance of these practices? How does one arrive at the answer to that question? What is the significance of this, for instance? This is called Anjali Mudra. It is also a mudra, hand gesture, the sense of gesture. Yeah. This is called Anjali Mudra. You don't know the word, do you? Anjali. Good, thank you. Now, what does this signify to you?
It's about, well, from what I've been told, is you're bowing to the God.
Thank you very much. So, from what I've been told, so the way you place your hands, the way you, etc., etc., all these things, the significance has been told to you by somebody or another. And the mind associates them with this, with what you have been told. I have been told that this is Chin Mudra, this is the wisdom symbol, the symbol of wisdom, highest wisdom. And because I have been told, the moment I see this, that thought is called to mind. And I have seen Roman Catholic priests use this. When I asked someone, they said, no, he is not using your yoga mudra at all. It is only to keep the hands clean. He has washed his hands and he is going to handle the host with it. And he doesn't want to, but then why does he want to use this? Why not that? Anyhow, so I have been told that it is this, the significance is this, and so as soon as I do that, the mind recalls what I have been told. And when you hold your hand like this, in the Buddhist or Zen way, and when you have been told that this is peace, immediately the mind enters into a state of peace. Apart from that, it is possible that some mudras have some psychological or neurological responses too. It's possible. I'm always skeptical in saying that this is the only meaning or significance of that. It's also possible by keeping the hands like this, I'm creating a certain energy circuit.
As to that, there's an interesting lady in the States who tells you how to find your positive energy and your negative energy and your neutral energy by holding a pendulum of
the
different.
Right, correct.
And I wondered, you know, when I was
quite possible
whether that didn't have, you know, they're just beginning to look into things like that.
Quite possible. Though I must say again, I'm not a terrible believer in that kind of thing.
Is chanting meditation?
Chanting? No. We have not been discussing meditation, we have only been discussing mantra. Is chanting meditation? Anything can be meditation. Mm-hmm. Anything can be meditation. It is not the way I do. It is the way I non-do. Meditation is non-doing. It is not doing. It is neither doing nor undoing. It is non-doing. And in order to non-do meditation, one tracks all doing down to its own source. While talking or while listening, if we can attract the whole thing to the source of talking or the source of listening, then this non-doing happens. Non-doing cannot be brought about doing. How can I do non-doing? If while doing it, the doing is traced to its own source, there is non-doing. And that non-doing happens. When it happens, it happens. When it does not happen, it does not happen. It is neither a physical action nor a mental action. If it is a physical action, it is unaccompanied by a prompting, motivation. Can a physical action or a mental action happen without any motivation at all? Without even the motivation of dropping all motivation? That is meditation. And this can be anywhere. Chanting, talking, eating, sleeping, working, dying, being born. It's only because it seems to be difficult for many people to do this non-doing without doing it, and while being involved in it, while being involved in various activities, while being involved in various activities, to non-do them seems to be difficult. And therefore, they train themselves to see what this non-doing is while practicing a method called meditation. And therefore, unless we discover that method there, in that morning meditation, it's useless, waste of time. It's got a negative value that for that 1 hour you didn't fight with anybody, you didn't scandalize anybody, you didn't indulge in terribly vicious thoughts. Otherwise, it doesn't have the positive value. While you sit for the meditation, you are not sitting for the meditation. Even the sitting is non-doing, the breathing is non-doing, all these things happen. I is not doing it. I is not sitting. I is not breathing. Breathing happens in spite of the I. I is not thinking. Thinking happens in spite of the I. The I is repeating the mantra to begin with, only to discover very soon that the mantra goes on. I is not discovering the mantra, repeating the mantra. Then there is a total non-doing. That's it. There you may get a glimpse of meditation for a little while. When you get that glimpse of meditation, you wake up to your idea, my God, is this very good? It's gone. Many of you did this during these 3 or 4 weeks. Some of them went into meditation, samadhi, occasionally. But then you wake up, and say, my God, hey, that was good. It's gone. It's like catching fish standing in the water with the oily skin, oily hands, greasy hands. You want to catch fish with bare hands. So you know that it's gone. As a matter of fact, that is the idea. The idea is that meditation should be throughout the day. And it is said that the enlightened beings are in samadhi throughout the day. Hi, that's voice. What is known as sahaja samadhi. Sahaja samadhi is where the samadhi has become natural, unbroken.
Should the mantra be synchronized with the breathing? Because one teacher says yes, another says no.
Naturally. Otherwise, you wouldn't say one teacher says yes, another says no. If both of them said yes, you wouldn't even ask a question. I think yes. It helps.
Then you should be aware of your breathing all the time you are using the mantra.
Try it. You're here for a few days. Try it. It helps. Get started. If you become aware of the breathing and then synchronize it with the mantra, then another reflex is formed. Another conditioned reflex is formed. So that when you are talking to somebody, it is bowing or it's you think it is leading to some kind of gossip and you don't want it. Well, gone. She's going on someday. You can go on, do what you like, or say what you like. The moment you listen to the breath, the mind picks up the cue and switches to the mantra. There's one advantage there, one big advantage. When I associate the mantra with the breath, this one very big advantage is there. Concentration becomes easier when you sit down, and also at any time of the day or night, the moment you pick up the awareness of the breath again, the mantra comes up.
What about the person you left behind in that situation?
Poor thing. He must also do the same thing.
There's no, doing that, leaving them behind, that's not hate, that's not
absence of... Can I not fall asleep when you're sleeping, when somebody is talking here? You may be helping her.
Yeah.
Somebody comes to gossip and to tell her, shut up, that's rude. Even I would say it's rude. Right? And you realize that she wants to pour something out. And you look at her. And you also realize at the same time that if you keep listening to what she is saying, maybe you are influenced too, maybe you are drawn into that. You don't want to get involved in all that. And you tell her, I don't want to get involved in this. That also might offend her because she thinks that you are making her feel small and you are so big. You merely do this. You may not even notice what I am doing this. When she cools off, probably she notices that you are not there with her. All right, my dear, I think you are tired, and she will go away. Obviously, you shouldn't tell her that you are avoiding. Yes? I didn't suggest that. You merely switch off and go away. She might obviously think that you are tired or you are bored, isn't it? All right, why am I boring you, right? That's, she is cooled off, it means. Huh? That's all. No problem.
Doesn't that interfere with being honest?
I am honest. Terribly honest.
In a
I don't want. No, I don't want to offend you, and I don't want to listen to you.
I can see it being a creative thing too, in the field of counseling.
Right, not to get involved in that.
I can use this.
Not to get involved in this. No, I'm being more honest than the other person. I've got these two things. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to get involved.
Why can't you just say that?
And then I offend you.
But what if that person gets suspicious and says, why don't you say anything? Now what do you think about that?
Well, I'll think about it.
Because they won't have a response from you.
Yeah, I'm I'll think. Once that she comes to you with some bubbling, no, some kind of explosion, inner explosion. Most of the people who come to you in this kind of situation we are discussing, they don't really want a response from you. They want to sort of get it out of their chest, and you merely it's sometimes dangerous even to nod your head because they think that you are agreeing with them. But sooner or later they will come to know that what you are doing, and either they will leave you alone or they will change. Once.